Great. Thank you so much. Well, welcome, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Work Trek 5 on Geographic Names at the Top Level Call in regards to the public comment on the supplemental initial report of the new GTLD subsequent procedures policy development process, meeting on the 9th of January, 2019 at 20 UTC. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connectrum. So if you're only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names. Also, as a reminder, all lines connected via the phone bridge today will be muted until the end of the presentation, and at that point, all lines will be open for a Q&A session. As a reminder, all participants, to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, it is my pleasure to hand the meeting over to Martin Sutton. Please begin, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. And on behalf of Olga and Beth, Javier, and myself, as the co-leads of WorkTrack 5, it's our pleasure to welcome you to the webinar session today. This will be recorded, so it will be available for those that were unable to join us at this time, or if you need to catch up at a later stage to listen again, it will be made available for you. If I can move on to the first slide, I think, are these, right, you have control in Adobe Connect of the slides, so we'll move to the slide two. just as a reminder, this webinar has been set up to ensure that we give up an opportunity for those that may not have been entirely close to WorkTrack 5 proceedings and discussions to provide an overview of the work undertaken by that group over the last year, which has resulted in the publication of the initial report, which we'll go into a bit more detail further on. It's not designed to be a discussion, a re-emergence of all the discussions that we've had within WorkTrack 5, but just essentially to help you understand what the approach was of the group and to provide an opportunity to answer any questions you may have, particularly if you need any clarity on some of the questions or suggestions that have been put forward in the initial report. So I do see that we've got a number of our WorkTrack 5 colleagues that have joined the call and appreciate them joining us as well to guide through the session today. If we move to the next slide. If we could actually sync the slide so that we don't get out of kilter between the audience and the speaker, that would be helpful, I think. But just to give you a flavor of what we'll cover today, we will provide a bit of scope and the overall purpose of the WorkTrack 5, the current status and what we plan to do next. But more specifically, we'll go a bit deeper into the supplemental initial report that's been published and where we're seeking some valuable input from yourselves. We will open this up to Q&A so that we can cover up any questions. If you do have questions as we go along, please feel free to put those into the chat. We'll either try and respond to those during the course of the presentation, or we'll store them to the end and be able to respond at that stage. So feel free to populate the chat with any questions you may have. Okay. We go to slide five. So to give you an idea about what WorkTrack 5 is about, it is a part of a wider policy development process for subsequent procedures. So you may be aware that there are a number of work tracks that were created to try and divide up the work and focus on specific topics to review. So previously there was an initial report published for work tracks 1 to 4, which covered a multitude of different topics. WorkTrack 5 was a specific group set up to focus on geographic terms at the top level. So this working group, the charter for this was to really focus on what was developed and implemented in the 2012 new GTLD program and the experiences of that program as it panned out, and to see whether there was any improvements or recommendations that should be made to the existing 2007 policies that exist under GNSO, under the generic names supporting organization. So the work track is has actually been running for over a year, meeting regularly, much often than once a month, more likely every 2 weeks in most cases, and also providing updates and opportunities to share updates and include community input at various stages, particularly at ICANN meetings where we've had open sessions and very productive input from the audience to help us along with our work. And that work has been pushed forward by a group of members to the WorkTrack 5. We had 160 or over 160 members that signed up to the group and another nearly 100 observers. So you can imagine that there was a broad array of views and positions that were brought into this group to discuss all different aspects of geographic terms at the top level. So we did encourage a diverse group of people to join up and be part of this process in order that we can get all of those opinions and opportunities to discuss within that group those positions and understand if there is opportunities to improve any policies and implementation work in regards to the treatment of geographic names at the top level. I'll move on to the next slide. So it's important to understand that this focused on the top level only, so it did not regard anything to do with second level or any other further level of domain names within a TLD. This is purely looking at top level and how this was treated within the 2012 round. And within the applicant guidebook, there were specific areas that were covered, and particularly we're highlighting these here. These included things like the two-character country codes, country and territory names, capital cities and subnational names, and other areas that included things like UNESCO regions, and other wider contexts of geographic terms, such as rivers, mountains, so more geographic features, and culturally significant terms related to geography. So that was the focus of that group. So as opposed to work tracks 1 to 4, which had a variety of topics to cover and had started a couple of years back, WorkTrack 5 was formulated to make sure that we had an opportunity to focus on a single topic and bring in different members of the community to share those views. So that's that was how we approached forming the group. I'll move on to the next slide. So looking at status and next step. So after many months of deliberations and conversations amongst WorkTrack 5 members and also the ICANN community, the result of that was a supplemental initial report issued early in December. This includes preliminary recommendations formulated by the WorkTrack 5 team, not the policy development process working group. So this is all contained within the WorkTrack 5. It also includes options and proposals and questions that were teased out through those deliberations and conversations within Work Track 5. And now what we're seeing is that an opportunity to gain further input from the community and feedback. So the initial report was published with slightly longer than the normal comment period to basically allow for the holiday period over the end of the year. So the comments deadline is 22nd of January. So I'll just highlight that for now so that, you know, if you're interested in this topic and you'd like to make some comments and feedback on the initial report, there's still good time to be able to provide that and submit that by the deadline of 22nd of January. So what do we do after that? Well, that's a lot of work already been done within Work Track 5, but all of our members will then be looking at the comments that have come back through, and we'll analyze those comments and work out how to develop those final recommendations into a report that we hope will actually be merged with the full working group. So this is where we aim to see this converge with the overall policy development working group to deliver a single final report. So that's the intention, still remains, and we hope we'll be able to achieve that based on the feedback and input that we receive from the community during the course of the rest of this month, and complete those deliberations. So that's our approach so far and the current status and next steps. I'll now hand over to Olga, who will just talk us through more deeply in terms of the approach towards the initial report. We'll, as I say, have an opportunity for questions and answers after this section. Okay, Olga, I'll ask you to take over.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Martin. Can you hear me well? I guess so. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, thanks, Olga.
Oh, thanks, fantastic.
Yes.
Just trying to check my audio. First, Happy New Year to everyone. Feliz Año Nuevo. Hello from this very, very hot summer afternoon here in Buenos Aires. Yes, it is warm here, not cold. Thanks to Colette and thanks, Martin, for explaining the first part of this presentation. And thanks to Annabeth and Javier and to staff for all the hard work done to achieve and get us there to this state of the report. And thanks to all of the community, all of you being with us today. And let me go on with this presentation. Before I move on, let me tell you, remind you that the summary of this report, it has been translated into other languages than English, Spanish, and I cannot recall exactly how many languages, but just you can check that in the website and the link that you know you have for the report. So that is important for colleagues who don't speak English as a first or second language. So the general approach of this report, it is documents different perspectives and summarizes the status of all the discussions that we had in this work track. So where appropriate and applicable, the report presents preliminary recommendations. So this is important, your comments, your feedback, because we have different recommendations, questions you will see when we talk about that part, which is Annex B, we're all together. So your feedback is very important, so we can finalize this document with your input. In some cases, groups of members or individual members have put forward some proposals that are believed that weren't consideration or proposals raised in the work track are documented in the report. Everything is in the report, regardless of the level of support. So that is important to stress. The report also includes a series of questions of which the work track is seeking additional input from the community to support further deliberation. So see the executive summary, as I said, it is already translated into some languages for overview and preliminary recommendations. In addition, all recommendations, this is very important for you to have in mind. If you look at the whole document, it's It's a big document. It has a lot of detail. It has many pages. But all recommendations, options, proposals, and questions for community input are extracted from the report and listed in its table as Annex B. So maybe you want to check first the Annex B, and you check the questions, you check the proposals, and if you have doubts, that is a reference, it's a clear reference in each of them to the section of the document that has more explanation and more detail about the origin of that question or that proposal. So don't get paralyzed by the size of the document. Just take a look at it. Take a look at the executive summary in whichever language that you're more able to read, and then go to Annex B and then go one by one. That would be my piece of advice to you, because the document as a whole, it's very detailed and long. But if you go to Annex B, that may get things easier for you to comment and to understand all the content. The table is intended, of course, as I'm saying, to help commenters organize their feedback. About consensus calls, with the initial report of the full working group, there were no consensus calls taken prior to publication of this WATRAC 5 supplemental initial report. The two main reasons for this approach: taking consensus calls at this stage have unintended consequences for locking WATRAC members into positions or support different positions prior to soliciting public comment, which is what is happening now from the community about this recommendation. So we don't want to avoid any idea or any comment. From such definitive positions at this early stage could have the diverse effect of members being less open to modifications to those positions as a result of community input. So this is why we had no consensus calls. This is why the document is so detailed and so complete. This is why also your comments and input is so important. So which is the structure of this report? We have already mentioned about Annex B, which summarizes all the questions and the proposals. Also the summary, the first part, and the initial story of the report. But the core of this document is Section 2. That section has all the detail that you need to understand all the questions and all the proposals. Deliberations of the working group, the high-level structure of this section is similar to the initial report published by the full working group early this year. And I will go detailing the following parts that are part of it. A, what is the relevant 2007 policy and or implementation guidance, if any? B, how was it implemented in 2012 round of the new GDLD program? C, what are the preliminary recommendations and or implementation guidelines? D, what are the options under consideration along with the associated benefits and drawbacks? E, what specific questions are the PDP working group seeking feedback on? F, deliberations. And G, are there other activities in the community that may serve as dependency or future input to this topic? So these are part of the Section 2. I will continue describing the Section 2 content. Then are the recommendations, the preliminary recommendations. These are also included in the executive summary, as you can see if you check it. So these are the preliminary recommendations. Continue to reserve as unavailable at the top level. Of course, your comments are welcome. All two character letters, ASCII combinations. Alpha 3 codes listed in the ISO 3166-1 standard. Short or long form names listed in the ISO 3166-1 standard, and there's a call there. For these items, translation in any language were reserved in 2012 applicant guidebook. WATRAC 5 has not yet agreed on whether translation should be reserved in the future, and if so, in which languages. Short or long form name associations with codes that have been designated as exceptionally reserved by the ISO 3166 maintenance agency. Separable components of country names designated on the separable country name list. Permutations and transpositions World Tax 5 preliminary recommendation suggests clarifying that permutations and transposition of the following are reserved. This is an adjustment of the 2012 applicant guidebook, should apply to all categories above, with the exception of streams resulting from a permutations and transposition of ALPA 3 codes listed in the ISO 31661 standard, which should be allowed. Names by which a country is commonly known as demonstrated by evidence that the country is recognized as that name in any intergovernmental or treaty organization. I will move on to the next one because there is a continuation. Second part of the preliminary recommendation. Continue to require a letter of support of non-objection from relevant government or public authorities, at the top level for capital city name or any countries or territories listed in the ISO 31661 standard, and then there is a note there, for this item, translation in any language were reserved in 2012 applicant guidebook. World Tax 5 has not yet agreed on whether translations should require support non-objection in the future. If so, in which languages? So your comments are welcome in this regard as well. Continuing city names where the applicant declares that it intends to use the GTLD for purposes associated with the city name. This specific language from the 2012 applicant guidebook for details. Applications for any string that is an exact match of a subnational place name, such as a country, province, or state, listed in the ISO 31661-2 standard. Applications for a string listed as a UNESCO region or appearing on the composition of macro-geographical continental regions, geographical subregions, and selected economic and other groupings. Move forward. And comments. I'm not reading the chat. Maybe I'm missing something important. If colleagues need that, make some comments about that, please let me know. So moving on, option in section two, these are part B, and the questions in part E. So if you find these questions in the section two, remember that all questions and proposals are summarized in Annex B. So you will find in section two a more detailed background of each of the questions and proposals. But perhaps once you get the time for commenting, go to Annex B, and that you will have the list of questions and proposals. So in the full working group initial report, options were captured in section two, part B of the report. However, in the World Tax 5 report, the options proposals are captured in the appropriate section of the deliberation section, given the extensive number of options and proposals under discussion. See the following slide. I will show you further details. Section 2, Part E, contains a number of questions. Apart from proposals, there are also questions. When the World Tax is seeking additional input from you, so it's very important that you give us your comments about it. Topics here include overarching issues, country and territory names, geographic names, requiring letters of support, non-objection, and additional categories of terms. All recommendations, options, proposals, and questions for community, as I said, are accepted for make it easy for you to comment and find them in Annex B. So you go to Annex B, you check all the comments, the questions and recommendations. If you need more detail, then you have there the reference where to find them in the section two of this preliminary report. Moving on. More deliberation summary, part two, section F. Section F includes the discussion of specific categories of terms and also reflects high-level discussion on broader issues, like who owns a string? Who has the right to a string? What is the appropriate role of a geographic community and government? Then you have to check the F1.2.1. What type of mechanisms should be exist to exercise rights to establish roles in this process? Then you see all the details in F1. Oh, this is difficult. 1.2.2. What law and policy considerations should be taken into account? Which should be take precedent? F1.2.3. What is geographic name for the purposes of the new GTLD program? Does the intended use of the string matter or not? F1.2.4. What are the key takeaways from the 2012 round of the purposes of future policy development and implementation, EF125? Are there alternate methods of consultations or collaborations in the application process that could satisfy all stakeholders, CF126. So during the public comment period, your feedback is welcome in all aspects of the report, whether the questions, the proposals, or any other comment that you want to add in relation with the full report. I just mentioned the Annex B fact because I personally think that it may help a lot during the comments to the full report. Moving on. We have come to the question and answer section, so I will give the floor to my dear colleague Annabeth. And Annabeth, the floor is yours, and thank you for your attention.
Hello, everyone. This is Annabeth Lange speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, Annabeth, loud and clear.
Good, good. Well, we are now at the point that we have presented what we have done so far. So I'm looking for hands here. Are there any questions? We haven't had many questions sent in before. So what we really want you to do now is to think, do you have questions to the report as such? This should not be a session where we debate the substantive issues contained in the report, but to ensure that you understand the structure and content of the document, so that the thing that Olga has initiated as well, to look closely at Annex B, to then it will help you to understand the report better. I also think it's important with such a large report that you think that perhaps it's just a few things in the report that you want to comment on, and that is the things that is important for you. So pick those out and send an answer to that, those things, even if you don't have the interest in everything that's in the report. It's important for us that outside those who have been members of the BRCAT 5 also now have the opportunity to send in their comments on what we have reached. We have been up to what we have been up against is that we have experienced in the BRCAT 5 a lot of different opinions, from, as said in the chat by Martin, that from more protection to less protection. So it is a difficult area here. We don't agree, and therefore we have to find a solution that we can live with, all of us. So I open the floor for questions. So are there any hands up there that we can help clarify things? I don't see any hands here. Is everything crystal clear? There, Olga, please.
Yes, Annabeth, thank you. For colleagues who speak Spanish, we have I coordinate with Brazilian colleagues a working group about internet governance in Latin America in our regional plan of action for the information society, and we plan to organize a webinar to do a similar explanation of what we have done today in Spanish. It will be next Monday. So if you're interested, those colleagues from the region or speak Spanish want to join us or spread the news in the community, send me an email, let us know, and we will send you the link to the Adobe Connect.
Okay.
And perhaps I would like to, I think I said this like five times, but I've been in contact with some colleagues in private, and they say, well, it's a huge document. Yes, it is, because it includes all the different views. And I think that's a real value of the document. So don't paralyzed when she's on big document, go to Annex B, go to the question proposals perhaps first, and then go into details of more explanations of each of them and give us your input, whether you agree or not, or you want to give a detailed explanation of each of the questions and proposals. So thank you, Annabelle.
Thank you, Olga. So, Javier, do you have anything to add?
Hi, hello to all. Happy New Year again to all. I don't know if any of the WordTrack members want to go to any particular slide and review it. I know it's a lot of material, but this is the purpose of this seminar, this webinar, just to try and dive a little bit deeper. It would be a pity if you miss a chance to ask a question or make a comment. In general, I'd like to stress that one very important aspect of WordTrack 5 is the fact that it has, you know, a very cross-community character. As you see, we are co-leads from different communities that in many ways ensures a very wide and open, you know, participation of different viewpoints and different types of angles in our conversations, and that's very important. As co-leads colleagues have mentioned, the initial report is a complex, long document. Again, we stress a look at the more summarized annexes. It's important to have a sense of it and then go into the deeper conversations once you have a sense of it. If you're somebody that's just starting out here, it could be very, very dense if you're just starting out. But in general, please, after this webinar, spread the word. The comment period is open. We have preliminary recommendations in this document. They are just that. They are based on some prior, the implementation, the applicant guidebook in many ways, the 2012 actions, but they're still preliminary, and it's important to have a real, a better sense of the wider community views on things in this comment period. So those are my comments so far, and thanks to co-leads for all the great camaraderie, and also all WordTrack members for the great inputs throughout our many, many meetings. And that's that for now. Thanks.
Martin, I see that you have your hand up.
Thank you, Annabeth. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, we can.
I just wanted to point out, just for those that were maybe on the phone as well, that there was a question posted into the from Sebastian about the public session where there were various proposals made to use lists regarding cities. And I know Olga's responded already to that in there, but yes, there were multiple discussions. In fact, cities was a regular and in-depth topic that was covered through WorkTrack 5, various different ideas and considerations that were put forward. And we have included those in the report and included where people have had suggestions. Some of those are in there as well for comment and feedback. So it is worth going through to some of the detail of those deliberations. And perhaps that speaks to some of the comments from Fazane regarding the fact that this does resemble very much the 2012 treatment of geographic terms in many of the preliminary recommendations. That may be correct, but to even reach that, there were months of deliberations and discussions, and I just want to make it clear that there are completely varying degrees of positions within WorkTrack 5 and beyond within the community that were considered during those discussions. And that's why it is important just to read through some of those comments, and certainly do present your own comments and feedback to the report, that will be highly useful for us when we start the analysis work at the end of the month. Thank you.
It's Annabeth here again. I agree with you, Martin, that is a very vital point. And the interesting thing is that also it's not the CCNSO that have one meaning and the GAC has one opinion, etc. It's within all stakeholder groups, there are different opinions. So it's not like from the GAC side means the same and etc. that way. It's not like that. And that's a vital point as well, I think. So if there are no more hands up, perhaps, Steve, is it possible for you to say something about the plan forward? It's been asked by Tom Dale about the ICANN 64. What are we doing now after the 22nd of January when the comments come in? Could you please enlighten the group on that?
Thanks, Annabeth. This is Steve from staff. Hopefully you can all hear me well. Sure, I can try to provide a high-level overview of what lies ahead for WorkCheck 5. So the public comment period is set to close on the 22nd of January, so a couple weeks from now. From that point forward, the intention is that the public comments would be organized and prepared essentially in a matrix, and that would is intended to help serve the WorkCheck 5 in analyzing those comments. So we're allotting approximately about 2 weeks to do that organization of the comments. And so the idea is that the WorkTrack 5 will have an opportunity to meet prior to ICANN 64, hopefully once and maybe twice beforehand. And so the co-leads can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the assumption is then that the focus will be to actually start going over those comments and try to understand them as well as to see how they might impact any final, additional deliberations and recommendations. In terms of what is to be covered at ICANN 64, I don't think we're exactly clear yet. I think it depends on how much progress we see is made in reviewing those comments. It could be a continuation of the review comments, or it could be some other level of substantive discussion. So I think it's a great question, Tom. I'm not sure if the co-leads want to add anything to the discussions at ICANN 64, but I think there's probably some still discussion needed to finalize those plans. Thanks.
Stand back here. Thanks, Steve. I agree with you that we don't really know by now what will be the program for the ICANN 64. It depends on what comments are coming in. So we will see after you make the matrix and the first meeting after that is finished and all the members have had an opportunity to go through that. And then we can make plans for how to deal with this through ICANN 64. But it's certain that we will have discussions there as well, and also to present the comments from the community. Martin, do you have anything to add?
Hi, Annabeth. No, I think we're still largely dependent on the comments coming in and how those and the analysis of those. So that will pretty much direct the work that we do at ICANN 64. Before I hand back again, though, I would just like to close off a bit here just to say, you know, a huge thank you to our WorkTrack 5 participants. It's been, you know, a lengthy process, as many of these subsequent procedures elements are, and we've had, you know, great contributions through different parts of the community over the last year, culminating in the initial report. So a big thank you to those, and we look forward to receiving comments and feedback from the rest of the community as they peruse through the output of our work. Thanks, Annabeth.
Thanks to you. And Olga, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Annabeth. Final comment about the value of the multi-stakeholder approach to this document and the value of having the different co-leads from different groups within ICANN. I think it has been a great exercise. I don't think there is any stakeholder over another one. Or as Annabeth rightly mentioned, all the comments are detailed there without any reference to who made it. So please give us your feedback. Give us your comment. That will be very important so we can finalize a very nice document to move forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Olga. I agree that if there are no more questions here, what we can do as co-leads is to encourage everyone to go to their community and tell them to engage and send in their comments. The more comments we have, the more feel we will have how the community looks at this and try to find a common ground. So from my side, thank you very much for everyone participating in this webinar. It's quite a lot of people, and that's nice to see. And if there's nothing more from me, I think we can just close up.
Bye to all.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye. Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you,
bye.
Everyone. Bye.
Thank you for your participation today. The meeting has been adjourned. Operator, please stop the recordings at this time.